reading from Srimad Bhagavatam from the second canto, chapter 7, entitled Scheduled Inclinations, text number 20. Chakram chatikshva vihatam dasa suswate jo. Manvantaresu manuvamsataru vivarte.
Manvantaresu manuvamsataru vivarte.
Dustesu rajasu damam vyadadat svakirte.
Dustesu rajasu damam vyadadat svakirte.
Satye tripristo satim pratayam charitre.
Satye tripristo
Chakra,
Chakra,
the Sudarshan wheel of the Lord.
Chakra, as well as
Dikshu, in all directions.
Abhihatam,
without being deterred. Dasasu,
ten sides.
Svateja,
personal strength.
Manvantareshu, in different incarnations of man.
Manuvamsadaraha,
as the descendant of man.
As
the descendant of the Manu dynasty.
Vibharti,
rules over. Dustesu,
unto the miscreants.
Rajasu, upon the kings of that time.
Dhamam,
subjection.
Yadada,
performed.
Svakirtin,
personal glories.
Satye,
in the Satyaloka planet. Tripriste,
the three planetary systems.
Ushatin,
glorious.
Pratayam,
established.
Charitrai,
characteristics.
Translation. As the incarnation of Manu, the Lord became the descendant of the Manu dynasty and ruled over the miscreant kingly order, subduing them by his powerful wheel weapon, undeterred in all circumstances. His rule was characterized by his glorious fame, which spread over the three lokas and above them to the planetary systems of Satyaloka. We have already discussed the inclinations of Manu in the first canto. In one day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus changing one after another. In that way, there are 420 Manus in a month of Brahma and 5,040 Manus in a year of Brahma. Brahma lives for 100 years according to his calculation, and as such, there are 504,000 Manus in the jurisdiction of one Brahma. There are innumerable Brahmas, and all of them live only during one breathing period of Mahavishnu. So we can just imagine how the incarnations of the Supreme Lord work all over the material worlds, which comprehend only 1/4 of the total energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Manvantara incarnation chastises all the miscreant rulers of different planets, which, with as much power as that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who punishes the miscreants with his wheel weapon. The Manvantara incarnations disseminate the transcendental glories of the Lord. Mayaja Shri Prakti Sri Sachara Charam Etunanina Kuntiyajanatipayurat. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. He is the supreme controller in the entire universe. And within the universe there is an order, an arrangement to protect principles of Dharma, to make transcendental knowledge available, and to deal with those who are rebellious or miscreants, who turn away from principles of Dharma, and to rectify them. In that way, there is a distinct order within the universe. And the Lord has many agents who are His representatives, and who are, as His representatives, making arrangements to lead everyone towards and on the path of Dharma. Then the Lord goes further, because these arrangements He makes for the conditioned souls, whether pious or impious. But for particularly disseminating devotional service, the Lord sends His pure devotees to this world. And of course, on this day, on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura, we can appreciate that we are dealing here with a pure devotee of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is not just an ordinary spiritual master. Just like Srila Prabhupada said like that, my spiritual master is not an ordinary spiritual master. Of course, which spiritual master is ordinary?
It is sort of almost a contradiction in terms, an ordinary spiritual master. But even then, even amongst great and exalted souls, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura stood out as an especially empowered personality, as a very potent personality, not only in his learning, but especially in his uncompromising dedication, his uncompromising dedication to the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the mission of Srila Bhaktivinoda. One must see these three acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada, and Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada as very, very much connected. Very much connected. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was working under the direction of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It was Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who engaged him in publishing and who made him an editor. He was particularly editing the various writings and also compiling, writing, publications was a big thing for Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who wrote like 100 books, and who wrote so many, who published various magazines, Sajjana Toshin. But then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he was one who put everything into action. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very much a visionary who also pushed the Sankirtana movement. And whatever he gave, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta just took it. Like, for example, there is the Navadvipa Mahatmya, and it's kind of a mysterious book in our Sampradaya, because it describes how Lord Nityananda came and took Jiva Goswami on the parikrama of Navadvipa and then showed him the entire Navadvipa. And in this way, With, of course, Yoga Pit in the center, in the birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the center, in Mayapur. That was very revolutionary. It was something that was not commonly accepted at all. Everyone was convinced the birthplace of Mahaprabhu was in Navadvipa. However, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought out this book. Now, we don't find any earlier reference that Jiva Goswami spoke about this. Now, one might say Jiva Goswami was naturally very humble, right? So he didn't speak about it. But then, how did Bhaktivinoda Thakur came to know? So if somebody would have known at the time of Jiva Goswami's life, if he would have mentioned it to anyone, that person would not have kept it quiet. That would have been, well, unless Jiva Goswami personally made him swear that. Anyway, so it's a mysterious book. It just emerges at the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And of course, we accept it. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, he accepted that book as the absolute reality. And he began to immediately take action to put it on the ground. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had to put the temple and the yoga pit, but it was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who began to excavate the entire Dharma. He began to identify so many places. Radha Kund, Shyama Kund, he made his Chaitanya Mandir, his headquarters, and next to the yoga pit, he said, here is Gorakund. He wants this land of Gorakund. They purchased the land of Gorakund. Actually, they didn't purchase it because he was told his disciples that he wanted that land next to the yoga pit. And they made some arrangements, you know, like they didn't have the money, so they got some other piece of land and they exchanged it. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was very upset. He said, why did you exchange? Why did you exchange? I had, that was also a very sacred place. And I also had great plans for that land and wanted to reveal. So he was revealing the transcendental nature of the Dharma. Just now across the Jalangi, there is Varna Vihar, which is also mentioned in the a place where in the past a great king, Suvarna Singh, was residing, and how that king had a great desire. He came to Navadvipa and actually the darshan of the Lord told him in the future he would appear there. And then we see that later Budhimanta Khan was appearing in that place. Budhimanta Khan was greatly opulent and greatly supported the marriage ceremony of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had been closely connected to Navabu Singh Shah. So in this way, and it is said the Lord came there. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda danced in that place. But the place was not known prior to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. It was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who was revealing these places. And in this way, and then started the entire Navadvipa Mandala Parikrama, not as a transcendental excursion or transcendental entertainment for the devotees, but again to establish the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to establish the Navadvipa Dhammahatmya on the ground.
He established it on the ground.
What was an obscure book at the time
when Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written
became a reality on the ground.
Well, now of course it has become so much established. When someone came from Navadvip and wanted to argue
with Srila Prabhupada
about the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being in Navadvip, Achyutananda brought him to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, just take him down the road to the Gaudiya Mat. They've dealt with this for such a long time. Prabhupada didn't even bother. He didn't even bother. He didn't need to bother. Because by then, right, it had become practically obsolete. No one was taking it serious anymore. All the pilgrims were just coming, pouring into Mayapur. And Mayapur, as the birth site, had become a fact. So we see that in this way, these three acharyas are so much on one line. So much on one line. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was the strategist, whereas Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the visionary who had the deep ideas pulled from scripture and who made these things practical, who gave like schemes for preaching, like the Namahanta scheme. Right? I mean, the whole idea of the Namahanta is being established here in Sri Dharmayapur. And by Lord Nityananda, points out Lord Nityananda, but Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not spread such a wide network of these things. He envisioned it all. And then Bhaktisiddhanta started to sort of take the lead to put it all into reality. Everything. Just like another example is these deistic exhibitions in Calcutta, which were on the Maidan, which is a big open field in Calcutta. Srila Prabhupada would explain my spiritual master like diorama exhibitions, doll exhibitions of the pastimes of the Lord, and so on. And then we read from Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's book, something that we didn't know before, how big these theistic exhibitions were in Calcutta. They were extending over a site of many, many acres. Durban prides itself in their Rati Yatra festival as like being a very big festival, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's theistic exhibition was much bigger, much bigger. And it was a very interesting festival. At the center, at the core of it, he had many dioramas presenting philosophical conclusions of Chaitanya Vaishnava theology. And then, around the festival, he had exhibitions of every state in India with like cultural presentations so that mundane people could come, so that it was open to everyone. So he had this whole idea of how to bring many people in by preaching in a cultural way, right? And not at all directly only Krishna consciousness, but that was the core. And then in the core, on 1 acre, he did a 3D map of India, right, with relief, in the middle of Vindhya Mountains and everything, the North Himalayas, the whole thing was there in a 3D map. And then on that map, he did the entire parikrama that Lord Chaitanya went. And he established all the holy places there on that map. And there was a pathway so that people could go on that parikrama. And in this way, we educated about Lord Chaitanya. So, Srila, later on, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also started to establish padas, started to establish footprints of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on that route in South India. And he didn't finish it, he established several ones. And again, he was establishing things on the ground. He was establishing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was establishing his places, and he was establishing the entire concept of Sri Rama. And we see, of course, we are now carrying forward with this. This is, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out, that our Srila Prabhupada had two main agenda items. One agenda item was to distribute books all over the world. He took that from his spiritual master. His spiritual master was very much into publication. He was engaging in publication in so many ways. He made magazines a monthly, a weekly, a daily, and he was like engaging with people of his time in debates and discussions. One scholar, one well-known Bengali scholar, made a critical remark about Vaishnavism. Not without reason, because so many sahajas had come up in Bengal after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who were outright engaging in the great activities. Tantric rituals had come in, and these tantric rituals were simply saying mundane sex or activity was representing the unity of the divine with Prakriti. And thus the male form was the Purusham and the female form the Prakriti. And in this way, sexual activity became transcendental. Such sahaja cults were existing. I was reading a little bit on the sahajas and it said that in some of these sects, before the marriage, the bride would be offered to the guru, you know, for the night, so that the husband could get prasad the next day. Such twisted sahaja philosophies were existing. And so no wonder that actually a sincere person was speaking out strongly against Vaishnavism and wrote a devastating article about the Vaishnavas and how degraded they were. And that they were only Vaishnavas in name, and that there were no more Vaishnavas. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote this like powerful, powerful article in his own magazine, in his own publication. And it was widely distributed, and it was so well read by everyone who was prominent that the man was forced to respond. He was forced to respond, and he was forced to submit. He submitted a public apology in some newspaper. So now we look at these magazines, they were not just propaganda magazines, you know, not just a magazine from, you know, and this is the Hare Krishna movement, and we have, you know, this anniversary and that festival, and we've done this, as we've seen so many newsletters. No, this magazine was engaging. It was engaging. It was right on the cutting edge. It was there, like in communication with the
responding to the issues of the day. And we see that Srila Prabhupada, as a faithful disciple of his spiritual master, in 1944 comes back to Godhead magazine. And what does he do? After a big battle to get the paper, which was very difficult because it was rationed and controlled by the army, Prabhupada convinced the big army officer to give him the paper, comes out with, and the officer said that this paper cannot be given for any civil purposes. All the paper is now reserved for the purpose of the war. Prabhupada said, exactly. That's why this paper must be given to me, because my magazine will make peace and will end the war. And he got it. And then he writes his editorial, The Frenzy of War and the Frenzy of Love and the Frenzy of Hate. Right? And the frenzy of love for one's country brings about hate. So, the love and hate of the material world. So Prabhupada did the same thing. He engaged, just like his spiritual master. He very much engaged with the time, what was happening, and just addressing relevant issues. He was not just presenting Krishna consciousness and speaking over the heads of everyone. No, he was directly engaging with the issues of the day from a Krishna conscious point of view. Of course, at other times, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and Srila Prabhupada would both just speak pure transcendental Bhagavatam and other knowledge from such scripture. Not catering to the audience at all, just simply speaking pure transcendental knowledge. But not only, they were certainly very much conscious of building bridges for people so that they could take on Krishna consciousness. So that was very interesting. I guess in this lecture I want to focus on the point where when Srila Prabhupada was glorified for his good qualities, that he said, actually, just as the moon has no light of its own, and if you see the light of the moon, then know it to be the light of the sun, which is reflecting on the moon. In the same way, if you see any good qualities in me, then know them to be the good qualities of my spiritual master. I'm trying to highlight that point. I'm trying to highlight how Srila Prabhupada was the transparent servant of his spiritual master, and equally so, how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was the transparent servant of his spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of course, there's Srila Gaurika's servant, Babaji Maharaj, and he was also transparent to Srila Gaurika's servant, Babaji, because he sat down in Mayapur and took the same vow as Haridas Thakur to chant a billion names. In 10 years, that meant 300,000 names a day. Inconceivable, non-stop chanting. So we're looking at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, first of all, as one who is a very deep internal devotee, one who is a parisat, one who was able to perceive the transcendental, eternal activities of the Lord, and one who would speak from that platform with vast learning, and all that learning
suddenly became deeply strengthened or empowered by this pure transcendental dedication and vision. It is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta who then met Srila Prabhupada, Abhaycharan, and, or at the time, Abhaycharan Aravinda at Radhakund, and told him to, if you ever get money, print books. He was disappointed, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, with the headquarters, Bhat Bazaar, the big marble palace temple that had been built selflessly by Jagatmandir, and which was greatly appreciated by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. But what he did not appreciate was then that some of his leading disciples were fighting over the rooms rather than being concerned with using the facility for preaching. He said, if I could, I would take the model off the walls to publish books. So then we see how Srila Prabhupada just made that his mission. And therefore Srila Prabhupada said he had two missions. I mentioned that earlier, and now I want to pick up from that point. He said, two missions. One, to print and distribute books all over the world. And the other one, to develop Sridhama. Somehow we'll develop Sridhama. These are the two main agenda items of Srila Prabhupada's movement. Srila Prabhupada confirmed that to Giriraj Maharaj. So we can appreciate that those are the main agenda items, and these are incredible challenges. Of course, the books, we can see that Srila Prabhupada took the order of his spiritual master to preach in the English language, an order that Srila Prabhupada had given earlier on to others also. But Prabhupada took that order so much to heart and drove it with so much force that we are all just astounded. We remember his tireless translation, going faster than the publishers, demanding the marathon of the Chaitanya Charitamrita publication. They said they could speed up printing and do one volume a month. Prabhupada said, no, I want all of them in 2 months. So inconceivable what he demanded from his disciples, the book distribution. Just double it, and double it, and more. Prabhupada was driving the movement, just like his spiritual master. His spiritual master would say that for the members of the Gaudiya Math, 4 hours sleep was plenty. That was enough. And they should dedicate all their time to the mission. There was no need to waste any time in sleeping. 4 hours was plenty. And then just go out and then follow all the temple activities. Then go out and preach. And when his disciples complained that all they could see of was too much, they were too weak because no rice. They ate a lot of rice, so I guess they were growing up. No rice. But, and then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta just eat rice. Eat rice. And in this way, he put the preaching even before before the class. Of course, they didn't do that. They didn't do that. And Srila Prabhupada encountered a similar situation where Hari Kesh was sent to preach in Russia. He was sent to preach in Russia. And Hari Kesh, he didn't want to go. He was on Prabhupada's personal party, one of the secretaries. And Prabhupada sent him. He sent him to preach behind the Iron Curtain in Russia. These places. It was impossible. So Hari Kesh was complaining. He said that, like, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible. How can I preach there? There is nothing to eat. There is only meat. Prabhupada said, all right, then eat meat. But go and preach. Of course, he didn't eat meat. I remember how Hari Kesh came to Mayapur. No, to Vrindavan in 1978, and he came back from preaching and behind the Iron Curtain, and I was in charge of serving prasad, and we served samosas with potatoes, and he took a bite of the samosa and he goes, oh no, not potatoes, not potatoes, he said, potatoes, the whole year, all I eat is potatoes, can't you put something else? So he had survived on potatoes somehow or other. That was clear. Potatoes is what it was. But somehow or other, and then later, Hari Kesh came back. Hari Kesh had come back to Prabhupada before this was. Hari Kesh came back to Prabhupada with so many books that he had printed now in languages from behind the Iron Curtain. Prabhupada was so. He said, see, now you know why I wish you so much. See, I knew you would do wonderful. So in this way, we see how these books will remain the essence of creating the revolution in this world. The revolution that will drive away the sinful activities of this age of Kali. In the introduction to the Srimad Bhagavatam, preface, there is that verse from the fifth chapter of the first canto, which is the verse which discusses that the Bhagavatam will bring about a revolution in a misguided, misdirected civilization. And we see that was the plan of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. That was his plan. The seed of that plan had been planted by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who turned Srila Bhaktisiddhanta into a publisher, and an editor, and a printer, and a book. If Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was anything, he was a BBT man, right? One could say. In modern context, you would say he would be a BBT man. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur made him like a publisher in all respects. And he, in the same way, impressed upon Srila Prabhupada the Brihadaranyaka. So now, and then as Srila Mayapur, to worship Lord Chaitanya, and to create, to create a project that is perfect and transparent to the Dhamma. Service in the Holy Dhamma means transparency to the Dhamma, transparency to the Supreme Lord. To create a project that by all means represents the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that reveals the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that engages people in connecting to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That project, the Odarya Dham, the magnanimous, the abode of, that's a difficult word, magnanimity, is that right? The abode of the magnanimous voyage. And from that abode, in that abode, it must be a famous abode for its generosity. It must be unlimitedly generous. And we see that spirit of generosity in Srila Prabhupada, who just starts his Sunday love feast, and there are it's an incredible feast, 15 preparations, incredible preparations, each one, and there's unlimited, there's more, and still more, and more, and people can bring home. This is the spirit of the Dhamma. The spirit of Srimad, the spirit of just giving in abundance, that Mayapur, the abode of the abundant mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these two qualities, this book distribution, which is the glorification of Krishna, because Bhagavatam is the glorification of Krishna all over the world, and then bringing people gradually to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is kind of hidden in Srimad Bhagavatam, who only comes out in a few verses, and then taken to Sridhar Mahaprabhu, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fully expresses Srimad Bhagavatam in his life, in his teachings. In this way, we can see these two main mission points of this movement, and how the three acharyas are just one spearhead, or one gave the shaft of the spear. One made the Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. He gave what he hold on to. Srila Bhakti does a Bhakti Nautaka. He gave what he hold on to. He took the essence of so many scripture. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta made the spearhead, made it pointed and targeted, and told Prabhupada where to throw it. And then, and himself also threw. But then Prabhupada picked it up and just threw it all the way around the world. And in this way, we are today observing the appearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Any comments? There's so much more that one can say on such a day. The difficulty is to limit oneself. So, okay, I chose this particular angle. And now if someone feels there's something they want to highlight, please highlight, contribute something to the discussion. So I'm welcoming, especially the ultimate comments, and of course questions.
young.
That is true. We don't have the purity of Sri Bhaktisiddhanta, so that's what the topic of Prabhupada. Nor do we have the purity of Sri Prabhupada.
I mean, sometimes, like, in terms of ISKCON,
it feels that even all of us together, right, are worth less than one Prabhupada,
right? I mean, in terms of what we can achieve, or what in terms of our vision, in terms of what we have contributed.
So, yes, but it is not that we have to replace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
That now that he has disappeared from this world, who's going to replace him?
No one's going to replace him. He cannot be replaced. But he need not be replaced. He's still here. He's still here. His mission is still here. His statements are still here. It's like, and we can take them. We can take now from the acharyas. And whatever we take from them, the acharyas will be with us. Yes, one cannot go beyond his power. Right? It's like Hanuman and the spider.
Yeah. Is Hanuman and the spider? What can we say?
The spider could not become Hanuman. But anyway, the spider threw some crumbs at the bridge and did his very best. So we may be spiders, but we should give everything we have. Then Krishna will empower. Empowerment comes from Krishna. Krishna will send. He will send different personalities at different points in time as required. So when no, sometimes in our mind there is a very, very powerful personality, and then for some time there may be no. Not a very powerful, extremely powerful personality. And then, so if there's not immediately a very, very powerful personality like that one extremely effulgent acharya, then that effulgent acharya will still dominate. He will dominate. And only when another very effulgent acharya comes, then he may start to dominate. Like that's what happened with Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his spiritual master. Like both were so effulgent. Both were just so incredibly effulgent that Srila Prabhupada, the Gaudiya Mat sometimes feels that our Bhaktivedanta Prabhupada has obscured Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada, and that he even took away the title. So yeah, but no, not like that. He didn't obscure, he was just equally effulgent in his own way. And therefore that was the arrangement of the Lord. But the cyclic succession doesn't always pass on like that. Actually, after many of our great stalwart acharyas, there were many others who were not like as great an instrument in pushing forward this movement. They were not as great an instrument in pushing forward this movement. Many were great exalted souls. Some were Parisat devotees of the Lord, devotees who were like in the spiritual world, but they were not as empowered. So the empowerment of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the empowerment of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the empowerment of Srila Prabhupada are very much present with us today. These acharyas are still very much with us. Therefore, this day is more than just observing an appearance day of one of the previous acharyas. Of course, all the previous acharyas are relevant to us, but Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is very relevant to us in that these three are the architects and engineers of the preaching in the modern world. And therefore, we still, we can look at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's taste exhibition concept, right? And maybe use it in our preaching here in Durban, how to bring more substance into a festival, and so on. So, they are with us. We may not be so pure, but our purity should simply be that we will be followers, and then we'll just faithfully follow the greater personalities. That should be our purity.
Prabhupada ki jai.
Ananda Kuti Vaishnava ki jai.